Welcome to www.reformedontheweb.com. I'm Brother Lee Harville, and this is our web broadcast today. I thank God that God loved me. Praise God that Jesus loved me. Before the foundation of the world, He chose me out. 1 John over there, it says we love Him because He first loved us. In Ephesians 2, it talks about the mercy or the great love or where He loved us. When we were dead in sins, praise God, that God has called us out and loved us with a great love. Praise God, and I thank Him for that today. If you've got your Bibles today, I'd have you turn with me to John 15. If you've got your Bibles, turn to John 15. I thank God today that God has loved me. When I could do nothing, when I had no ability, when I could, without strength, in due time, Christ died for me. That's what the Scripture teaches, my friend. So many today going around in this world, trying to go up as a thief and a robber. If any man tries to go up any other way, but then through Christ, to go up as a thief and a robber. That's what Jesus said. He said He is the door. There's no other name under heaven whereby man must be saved, but except the name of Jesus Christ. Many today, if you go up to the average individual and ask them, do they think that God will send them to hell? They'd say, no, I think God would not send me to hell because God's a loving God. I'm telling you, my friend, they've made an idol. They've made a God after their own imagination. They've made a God that is after their own whim, one that would do for them, though they do against Him. A God that's less than what they are. And most of the time, when we redefine God and re-image God in our minds, we bring Him down either even with ourselves or lower than ourselves. But I'm telling you what, my friend, God is holy. God will not condone sin. God will judge sin, my friend. God is holy, my friend, and we can never attain unto His holiness without the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, my friend, is not a God that man would devise after his own imagination. That's the reason, one another reason I know that this is true. Because man does not wish for the God of the Bible, who, my friend, would make up a God that's so righteous and holy that He would condemn a man for sin. That is not what men do when they make up false gods, when they make up idols after their own imagination. They make up an idol, my friend, that is either equal to them or less than them. One that will condone what they're doing. One that is just full of love, but has no wrath. But I'm telling you today, my friend, that even as God is a God of love, my God is also a God of wrath. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But if you go to the end of that chapter, my friend, it says that he that believeth not, the wrath of God abideth upon him. My friend, if you think that God is just a God of love and will never judge you one day for the sin you're living in, then you have deceived your own self. I'm telling you, God is also a God of wrath. When He came in His Son Jesus, Jesus is the full declaration of God. He exegeted God. In other words, He declared God and what God is like, my friend. And God, my friend, is a God of wrath. Certainly, Jesus showed us that God was a God of love, but He's also a God of wrath. And my friend, if you don't believe that, then you'll go to hell deceived, my friend, because God will send you there according to your own devising, of your devising Him of being something that He's not. I'm telling you, my friend, that God is a God of wrath. All through the Old Testament, He showed forth His wrath. And when He got to the New, He showed the greatest wrath He could ever pour out was poured out upon Christ on the cross. So don't tell me, my friend, that He's just a God of love. But this morning, praise God, I want to get with you and tell you, if you'll follow me in John 15, that we have no ability in and of ourselves to come to God. By ourselves, we're nothing. By ourselves, left to ourselves, we will perish. Left to ourselves, we do not desire God. Ephesians 4:18 says we are blind and ignorant. And Ephesians 2:1 says we're dead. Other scriptures talks about we're alienated and enmities against God and enemies of God and foreigners of the saints and household of Israel. I'm telling you, my friend, we have no promises unless we're in Jesus. We have nothing to hold on to unless we have Christ. Now, if you have Christ, certainly you're still a sinner, but God, praise God, has forgiven you of your sins. He has declared you not guilty because He has placed your sin upon Christ and placed Christ's righteousness upon you. This morning, Jesus said He is the true vine. And His Father is the husbandman. And every branch in Him that bears not fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He purges, that it may bring forth more fruit. And now He tells the apostles there, clean through the word which He spoke unto them. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. My friend, here Jesus is talking to the apostles. He's talking to the elect of God. Without Jesus we can do nothing. And if we can't do nothing as being born again without Christ, then how much can an unsaved man do? Nothing, my friend. Here, Martin Luther was debating with Erasmus when he wrote his Bondage of the Will. The greatest soli deo gloria, to God alone be the glory, that was sung throughout the whole Reformation, is the Bondage of the Will. My friend, if you've never read it, I challenge you to pick it up and read it. But here he tells Erasmus, this, without me you can do nothing, does not, my friend, mean a little something. We don't have any ability in and of ourselves to come to God. Paul talks about two people over in the book of Romans, chapter 9, Jacob and Esau, before they were born, hadn't done good or evil while they were still in the womb. They had done neither good nor evil, but that the election according to God's purpose might stand. Jacob I love, but Esau I hate. And he goes on and answers objections on down through there about the righteousness of God, because many recognize that if this is true, that if God chooses one and passes over the other, then they want to claim that there's unrighteousness in God. But I'm afraid to tell you, friend, that there's no unrighteousness in God. I pray God is not a him that willeth. Here's where I'm wanting to go. By him that, and nor him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. There are many people today, my friend, trying to get to heaven. They're going up as a thief and a robber. They're trying to get in through another way. They're trying to get in through their own works. They're trying to get in through their own good deeds. Because they pay their tithes and go to church, they think surely God has accepted them. But I'm telling you today, my friend, if you have not made Christ your surety, if you've not put your full confidence in Christ and depended upon Him and Him alone to save you, then my friend, there's no hope for you, because you can't get to heaven through the fruit of your own righteousness, because your righteousness is as filthy rags. It is nothing in the sight of God. It is tainted with sin. The best that an unsaved man could do is dung before God, because it's not accepted before God. You say, what if I help the little old lady across the room? What if I help feed my neighbor? Certainly, them are good deeds on a human level, my friend, but what does God say about them? Because they're not done out of a right motive, because they're not done for love for God, because they're not done in faith, my friend. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And for without faith it is impossible to please Him. Then God did not accept them as righteous words. And before His face, they stink in His nostrils, my friend. If you're dependent upon your own good deeds to get you to heaven, then you're trying to go up another way. Without Christ, you can do nothing. Natural man is bound, my friend, by sin. Natural man is bound by his sinful nature. And unless Christ come and regenerate, unless Christ come and deliver him and remove him the disposition of his will and renewing him or give him a new human nature so that now he loves God, so that now he loves Christ, then he will perish, my friend. These things are taught throughout Scripture. David said it like this in the Psalms. Blessed is the man whom God loveth and causeth to approach unto him. My friend, blessed is that man whom God loves. If God loves you, has set His unconditional love upon you, His mercy upon you, praise God, then you're blessed before God. My friend, that is a good thing. But if God has passed over you, I warn you that your fruit and your works that you're trying to heap up to make yourself right before God will actually condemn you and make your judgment greater, because you are a condemned wicked sinner. And my friend, it is only because of Christ and Him alone that we can get into God's presence, my friend. We need Jesus. We need His Son, Christ. There's no other way. Without me, you can do nothing. Without Christ, my friend, we have no ability. Without Christ, my friend, we have no way of coming to God but by Christ. So that this morning, I want you to know that if you're trusting in some vain work, if you're trusting in your own works, if you're trusting in the things that you've been doing and thinking that you're going to go to heaven because of them, then, my friend, I warn you that you are going up another way. You're going up as a thief and a robber. There's only one way. You say, well, I don't want to submit to Christ. I don't want that man ruling over me. Well, that's what the Jews said too, my friend. And Jesus spoke a parable against them on that same tome right there, my friend. They said they would not have this man rule over him, over them. And so they killed him. But, my friend, do not turn that away in your wicked heart, but turn towards Christ. And I know your turning would have to be by the Holy Spirit. Your turning would have to be by God. But I'm calling you today to turn. Turn and repent before God. Praise God that you might be saved. If you turn and repent, then you will be saved, because you're already saved. It's salvation, it's regeneration that causes you to turn and repent. And many today lose that. Many today think that a natural man somehow has ability in and of himself. They talk about him being sick. They talk about him being just feeble. They talk about him being handicapped. But I'm telling you today, man is not handicapped. When Adam died a spiritual death over in the Garden of Eden, then he died for all man. And all men that come into this world are dead spiritually, and they have no concept of God. The natural man receiving not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. So you can't even know the things of God. Now, a natural man might go to school, he might learn some of the concepts of God, but he'll truly never know the deeper meanings. He'll truly never know Jesus and the Word of God the way it proclaims itself. He'll never truly have a deep personal relationship with these things until he come to know Christ. Till he come to know the Master, the author and finisher of our faith. Jesus, my friend, is the author and finisher of our faith. And he is the captain of our salvation. My friend, I hate these little bumper stickers that go around this town and go around this world that say Jesus or God is my co-pilot. I'm telling you, Jesus and God is not my co-pilot. They are my pilot. They are the captain of my salvation, the author and finisher of my faith. Today I want to call you unto repentance. Today I want you to open your eyes and repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. That's in Acts 16. And then Paul preached to him and the whole house the word of the Lord. I'm telling you today, if you'll hear this word, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith, and he shall come to know Christ. Because it is the word, my friend, that quickeneth. The Spirit is what giveth life. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. In other words, if you're trying to make yourself right by the letter, you're trying to make yourself right by the law, then you should die. You should die the eternal death, my friend. But if you are trying to make yourself right, praise God, because you know Christ. And certainly there's a working after you come to know Christ. And because you know Christ, now you work, you labor, because now you love God. Then blessed is he that cometh unto God. Blessed is the man that God chooses and causes to approach unto him. That's what I leave with you today, my friend. I hope and pray you got something out of this. And I hope and pray that what I said, if it didn't profit anything, that it will fall to the ground. But I hope and pray today that what I did said, that was the Word of God, that it will go out and perform a work. It will go out and perform a work in the men's hearts, in the women's hearts, in children's hearts today, that it will go out and work. And I pray that today in the name of Jesus. Praise God for His eternal mercy. Today I leave you with these words. I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Praise God.